Who doesn't love a rom-com? I so love and admire the fact that you, David, and you, Y, have decided to create a brand new theater company in Chicago and not launch it with something serious and important, but to launch it with a rom-com. I so respect that. What went into that choice? It feels like a very brave choice to me.
Where should we start?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 917, Token Theater's Rom-Com. David Ree and Y. Yim have written Zac Efron, a sweet and very funny romantic comedy now having its world premiere and running until July 21st at a Red Orchid Theater in Chicago. Zac Efron is the inaugural production of Token Theater Company, whose aim is to change the narrative and shatter false constructs about Asian Americans. And in addition to writing Zac Efron, David and Y are also Token Theater's artistic director and managing director, and Y is also hysterical as one of the co-leads named, amazingly enough, Y. We began our conversation with David explaining how he and his co-founder Eric Keiko first began Token Theater in 2017.
We've been in the business for years, over a decade. You know, I have Broadway background. Eric Keiko, he's just graduated from Northwestern, was doing theater all across the Chicagoland area. And we could not get what I call the normal roles to save our lives, right? It was always a sidekick. It was always, and I can speak in accents from specific reasons of China, Japanese accent, speaking English, because I had to learn that if I wanted to eat, if I wanted to put food on my table. Yeah. Then a friend of mine was like, you need to, and I told a friend of mine, I'm going to leave the business. I'm tired of not being a human being on stage. And he said, listen, you have three choices. You can do that. You can leave. You could just shut up and realize that The King and I and Miss Saigon are your shows and just live with that. Or you can write your own stuff. So I left in my MFA at NYU to School of the Arts. Mm. And then Hamilton happened. And all of a sudden, my agent was calling me, and these people who were saying no to me were knocking down our door and basically, hey, we want to see David for this. We want to see David for this. And Eric and I sat down, we had a serious conversation about this. We were like, listen, we're a thing right now. And we could do one of two things. We could either just sort of say yes after all these years of being told no, and still allow the people in power to stay in power and make the choices, or we can actually create our own narrative and be the people in power and force ourselves to have a seat at the table to say, okay, this is who we are. I part of my program, I was at one of the largest off-Broadway houses as a class, and it's called Through the Pipeline, where we look at from reading the play all the way through production. And every single person who's the head of each of those departments came to speak with us each week in terms of what they did. And one of the things I've noticed was that all the people who were in charge of those major departments were not people of color. So one of the things that I asked, and I really was curious about this, was this idea of, it's interesting, costumes, you know, I don't believe that they had any ill intent, but it was this idea of, but you're still creating the narrative of what people of color should look like, should act like, you know, as a director, all this stuff. And they were, this theater company, by the way, is just very pro-diversity, very much, you know, they are big time allies. But it was just interesting that looking at the people in power, and they were still making decisions about how people should look, how people should act, et cetera, et cetera. A friend of ours, M. Joy Gavino, she one time said that she was in the middle of rehearsal and there was this really tense moment that came out, and she had this smile on her face. And the director was like, stop, 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 stop. It's like, why are you smiling? And she couldn't make the director understand that as Asians, we're taught to like just bury our feelings deep down inside and smile. And she said it's just second nature to her now, that she doesn't realize she does it, that when things get tense on stage, she'll smile because it's just a gut reaction that she does. You know what I mean? Yeah. Those type of those nuances were just lost. So Eric and I, we just decided, hey, let's create the narrative. Let's be the people in power who are making the choices. And even having Alan as the director for this, you know, the paint color for Zac Efron, he, as soon as he saw it, he was like, this is going to wash the actors out. Like, he knew that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just, that is literally how we started the theater company. And we were 2018. And speaking, it's an answer to your question of who hates a rom-com. I hate rom-coms. I hate them with a, I have no desire to do them. But it was literally a friend of mine who's a professor at UNC. She said to me, she's like, listen, I get the type of plays you want to write, you know, the big, important, right? But what she said was, give us our Disney movie. It's something what she said was, it seems so trite and so trivial, but we don't have a rom, what you just said, we don't have a rom-com. And more importantly, we don't have a rom-com that takes place in America that says we are American. And look at all the big blockbusters. For example, Crazy Rich Asians. It takes place in Singapore. Or the tragedy, Hansel Jung, who wrote The Wolf Play, we were having coffee one day. And she goes, name me a popular play that depicts us in America. Because it's always Miss Saigon. It's always The King and I, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And it was basically this challenge that said, give us our Disney play, our rom-com, which should be so normal, which should be so easy, and yet we don't have it.
Yeah.
And so literally everything that Y and I did as we were writing the play, we were like, all right, this is getting too much into the world of, you know, Aristotle's tragedy, right? And we're like,
right,
we have the opposite of everything. For example, the dad scene initially was not written in the way it was. The dad scene is very positive right now. Mm-hmm. Initially it was saying, you know what? I've drawn the line. I don't, you know, you don't want to talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. And he hangs up the phone. And we were like, you know what? We've seen this with Asian fathers on screen, in plays. We are feeding into this stereotype. There are
Asian not just fathers. Asian fathers. We've seen that scene a whole bunch of times. It's one of the many delightful traps you avoid in Zac Efron. Yeah.
100%. And we literally flipped it on its head and we were like, no, let's show the love that he has for David. And what we've noticed with every single audience was it's not about an Asian father who loves his son, but it's about the father that every single person in that audience wants. And that's what has been, we've seen people just in tears during that scene because it's, and like joyful tears because, this is the dad that I've always wished for.
Right. No spoilers. But I love everything you said. And I'm sorry, we're out of time now because you went on so long about the history. Good night, everybody. I love the idea that the whole aspect, the central idea of actors taking back the night, actors seizing the reins of power and creating work for themselves. And I also love the idea that you and Y collaborated on this script. And I'm just guessing this, why you love a rom-com and the tension of loving and hating rom-coms and serious issues about Asian representation versus let's just have fun and do something light and comic and make people laugh. That tension exists in the play, which gives the play, there's meat on that comic bone and it's lovely.
Originally, the whole play is quote-unquote rom-com and funny, super funny. But, you know, there's some heavy political undertone about, you know, AAPI hate crime and Asian representation, gay representation, gay Asian representation. Just the idea of, like, you know, in the world of gay community, there's this saying, no fat, no fam, no Asian. It's always that's what we have been seeing on all the dating apps. So there was a lot of those undertone in the first draft. And then as we keep working on it, the the Atlanta shooting, the AAPI crime during the pandemic that happened. So we lean into the danger of those hate crime. And like David said, you know, at the end, we want to make it a little bit more non-traditional, non-predictable. Oh, that's the dad, you know, that's the mother. So we kind of recraft it. The second half, we go into the deep and the dark of the uncomfortableness, but we want to keep the beginning as fun and as flamboyant and happy as possible. So I always say that this is a rom-com / K-drama because it leans back into it at the end.
Was it a difficult choice to name the characters after you, David, and call them David and Y?
It was laziness. Purely, I wish there was like this really intelligent response. It was pure laziness. It was just, you and I are writing it, I'm just going to keep it in for now. And then I use a program called Final Draft. And there's at that point, it was like 150 pages. And I know there's a way to actually program it. So every time you see the word David or Y, it changes. I just don't know how to do it. So, and I didn't want to go through 150 pages to change every single one of those names. And by the time we did the second or third reading, you know, just like in my place or just, you know, with friends and whatnot, it was just like, all right, it's stuck. It was pure laziness at that point.
But it also adds the charm to the character too, because I do have a YouTube channel during the pandemic. I did do tarot reading, you know, doing all the tarot madness. Like the beginning of the show, David actually saw my YouTube channel and take what I did on YouTube during the pandemic and put it into play. So then when we did it on YouTube, the familiarity is there. Like all my YouTube tarot follower, subscriber actually went to see the token YouTube production of Zac Efron. So like the two worlds kind of collide. So it's kind of, we can't really escape it and change it. Like let's change it to Bob and, you know, Victor, that doesn't make any sense anymore. So we're right. Like, let's be brave and just lean into it. And also just the whole idea of taking back our own identity too. Like, this is our first play. This is our first production. This is our first inaugural script. Everything is first. Let's just put our name on it and then let's see what will happen.
Hi, I'm Anne Curzan, author of the Kinder, Funner Usage Guide, Says Who, and co-host of the podcast, That's What They Say. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2024, we'll be performing the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged in Illinois, Maryland, Virginia, Kentucky, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Colorado. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with David Ree and YM, co-authors of the very funny rom-com, Zac Efron, the inaugural production of Chicago's Token Theater.
Has Zac Efron been notified that he is now a metaphor?
We're waiting. I mean, every single show, it's just like, all right, is this the one? But, you know, if he shuts us down, it's going to be great PR. So
yeah. You can retitle it Mac Nephron.
Right.
I know that you were able to get some incredible workshop support from a high school. I was going to ask you whether the high school kids were able to help you with the YouTube and the graphics and the stuff, but why, you're at heart a high school kid still. So I guess you come by that naturally.
You know, that is the one thing that I always kind of worry. I'm like, am I making a fool out of myself, you know, in front of all the audience? But then I watch all these YouTube, I'm like, they go crazier than me. They get bigger than me. And within the performance, within the script, there's so much truth to it because I lived it, David lived it, Hansel lived it, Gordon lived it. You know, yeah. It's just like, you know, if people don't like it, they don't like it, but we just pull our hearts out and lived our lived experience on stage every single night.
You really do Pour Your Hearts Out. It's incredibly funny and it's incredibly moving, and it's in that tiny red orchid space where you literally have to step outside, go outside to change your mind. There's just not enough room to do anything in there, so there is no, you can't hide behind anything. We're right there in that room with you. I love intimate theater like this. It's just so phenomenal. Congratulations, gentlemen. I mean, it's really, it's very special, and I hope it has a long run and an extended run in other places.
Let's hope.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The world premiere token theater production of David Reeds and Y. Yim's very funny rom-com Zac Efron runs at A Red Orchid Theater through July 21st, 2024. Go to tokentheater.net for more information. Then send us your metaphorical heart throbs via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareance.com. Thanks as always to YouTube sensation Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shoutout this week goes to Mandy Greenwood. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Anne Curzan, author of Says Who, A Kinder, Funner Usage Guide for Everyone Who Cares About Words, and co-host of the podcast That's What They Say. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 917 2751st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This is fun. Please let's do this again sometime in a bar.
Let's do it. Austin, thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.